Welcome into the whole show. The Lunch Rush is now. We take a look at the top stories trending nationally. Patrick Peterson and Kyler Murray, is that a thing? A little beef between the two? Patrick Peterson had some interesting things to say. He said, Kyler Murray doesn't care about anybody but Kyler Murray. That's just a matter of fact. He said that on a podcast with Keyshawn Johnson. And Kyler Murray shot back. And basically now we're asking, do you guys have a beef with each other? And yeah, it's interesting. Kyler Murray kind of shot back about, hey, you just want me to be on your podcast or whatever. Peterson said, you know, after he made those comments about him not caring about anybody like that, he said the characterization wasn't true. That's what Murray said. He said, that's not true. He added that Peterson should call him if he wants to be a mentor and not simply drag me so your podcast can grow. Thursday, Peterson fired back and said, hey, I don't have any beef with Kyler Murray. He disputed that he had disrespected Murray and all that stuff. Well, this is what we've heard about with Murray, though, right? Is that he is kind of about himself. That's part of the reason they put in the contract, like, don't play, don't do this, don't do that. Video games, all that stuff. Like, that's kind of been the narrative around Kyler Murray, a little bit, at least.
Yeah, some attitude or personality issues with him. And I don't know, that may go back to his college days. He was only at A&M for a year, then he transferred to Oklahoma. Ugh, weird situation in Arizona.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of weird situations, the Deshaun Watson thing.
Oof.
He kind of opened one of his press conferences, his first interview in 4 months as the Browns quarterback. He did not want to, he refused to answer non-football questions. He started it with, I understand that you guys have a lot of questions, but with my legal team and my clinical team, there's only football questions I can really address at this time. I mean, this is what we all expected. Those are going to be the first questions anybody asks about Deshaun. Now you can't ask. It's got to be all about football. How do you, as a reporter, shut all of that off? Because the story is the accusations and him being back, and some of the women will be at this game. Busby, the attorney, will be at this game. And you can't ask anything like that. He won't answer anything. He won't talk about it. I get why, legally, right? For legal reasons. But what a crappy situation.
Yeah, I mean, from a journalist perspective, it's, yeah, all right, let me ask him some football questions. You know, oh, Deshaun, do you think you can be who you used to be? And you post that on Twitter, your entire comments is going to be, nah, I don't care about his football
stuff.
Nobody
cares.
He did this. Like, that's got to be tough for them. It's, I don't want to say it's tough for him because I don't really have sympathy for him, but sure, it's a unique situation for him.
You know, part of the settlement, part of the deal he had to go through to get reinstated in the NFL, he had to pay a $5 million fine and undergo a mandatory treatment program. And I guess as a reporter, I would want to know, what has that been like? I'm guessing he did it while he was off, but he had to go to a treatment program to try to get right or whatever to come back from this. What a we think our situation with Russ is bad. I don't care if Deshaun Watson ends up being good. This is still a terrible thing going on in the NFL. It's just bad, dude. Speaking of quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers said he would consider the idea of shutting her down once the Packers are officially eliminated from playoff contention. They're 4-8. They're almost out of this thing. If you're the Packers, do you force the issue now? I mean, I guess Rodgers is going to play this weekend, right?
Yes.
But if you're the Packers, that's got to be going through your brain. Like, do we kick the tires on Jordan Love officially here and see if he is going to be the future? Because we talked about Tom Brady in the first hour. I'm not that confident that Rodgers is going to come back next season. And I think that's why Devontae Adams left. You don't think, like, Adams and Rodgers are friends. You don't think that Rodgers kind of, like, hinted to him, hey, you know, don't stay because of me. Like, he had to know his time was running out.
Yeah, and I think for Rodgers, he may have his eyes set on sunnier, warmer places like San Francisco.
So it might be Rodgers there instead of Brady?
Yeah, and I think for the Packers, if this is the end of an era of Rodgers and Adams, and you know you're going to start fresh with Jordan Love, best to give him 4 or 5 games to figure it out. They're at the Bears, home against the Rams, at the Dolphins, and then home against the Vikings and Lions. So three divisional games left. I still think those are important games. You know, if you want to challenge Minnesota, maybe you could pull off some magic, get a wild card spot, and you never know what could happen. But in terms of Rodgers' future, this could be the end of it in Green Bay.
Yeah, just looking at the standings, you know, you have the Commanders. The Commanders are locking into a playoff spot right now, at least right now.
All three NFC East teams are in the playoffs.
It's nuts, man. They're sitting
all four, sorry.
7-5. Isn't that crazy? I thought that might be the case for the AFC West. Not happening. So you have the Commanders right now. They would be the last one in at 7-5. So the Packers are, I mean, 4-8, it doesn't look good, but it's not out of the realm of possibility just yet.
I think 9-8, which is what you would need to finish to even have a shot, 9-8 in the NFC means a lot different than AFC.
Yeah, it does.
AFC, you're talking at least 10 wins to even be in the conversation.
Green Bay could beat the Bears. They could beat the Rams. But then they have your Dolphins. They're on the road.
Christmas Day.
They're home against the Vikings and home against the Lions. If you got to go win these next two games. So, yeah, I can see why. Hey, we think if you're the Packers and you seriously think you got a shot in this thing, well, yeah, you're going to go with Aaron Rodgers and just hope for the best.
I think this decision ultimately comes after Sunday.
Yeah, probably
if
right.
If you lose to the Bears, then probably going to sit him.
That
if
would almost win, eliminate them.
Then you got a good shot at going 2-0 in your next two games.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's what it's going to be. It's, you know, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers' watch. Do you shut him down?
He does own the Bears.
And you get this win, you're at 5. And
is this the ending of that ownership then if they lose to the Bears?
Yeah, he would no longer own them.
Justin Fields takes over.
So for the Commanders, I'm just looking at the playoff picture and the NFL here. And the Commanders have do they play the Giants back to back? Why is that?
Yeah, they're at New York this week, and then it looks like they have a bye week, and then they host the Giants.
That's strange.
So not really back to back,
but it's
back to back.
But it is weird. So that's interesting. Do you think the Commanders are going to hang on to this thing?
We're going to have a bye week in like December.
Did something happen that I don't? I mean, what's going on here?
Oh, that's the latest bye week I could see. Wow.
Must be
we were done with this.
I thought that we were done too. That's the last one, I guess. I don't know. When you're looking at these standings, is Seattle going to jump over Washington? Washington, you know, you're going to have to beat the Giants twice. The Giants can really do a lot to help their case. They're sitting in the sixth spot right now, and they can put a lot of distance between themselves and Washington just by beating them twice in a row.
Yeah, and the Seahawks have a pretty tough schedule to end the season. They're at the Rams this weekend. You'll host the Panthers, host the 49ers. That'll be a big one. That's a primetime game, it looks like. At Kansas City, home against the Jets, and home against the Rams. So still three division games for the Seahawks.
Mm. I'm rooting. Are you rooting against the Seahawks? You don't care.
My roommate's a Seahawks fan, so I have partial interest.
I'm rooting against Seattle because I don't want
rooting for
Geno
and all the letters he's not sending.
Yeah, I don't want him to get away with highway robbery here, where they won on Russell Wilson, they won on the trade, and now you know they're going to win when the Broncos have a top five pick to give them. So I'm rooting for something to go our way.
Top five pick and don't take a quarterback, they trade back and get some more.
Mm. Seattle, so that's an interesting spot. Philadelphia, who do they got this weekend? They're 10-1. They have an interesting game, don't they?
They are hosting the Tennessee Titans.
That is an interesting game.
It is.
Tennessee's just this tricky football team, man. They are locked. They're hanging on to the third spot right now. Behind, now Kansas City and Buffalo, and we'll see what happens with Miami this weekend. But Buffalo gets a big win for them, and they're sitting at 9-3. And they put themselves in a great spot to make a push for this thing, to make a push for not only the division, but the top spot in the AFC.
Definitely. I think all eyes are on the AFC East these last couple of weeks. All these teams still have to play all three opponents. Bills still got to play the Jets and Dolphins again. Patriots got to play again. So It's going to be fun. It's going to come down to, I think, those three teams. I think New England's pretty much done in the playoffs.
I feel like it. And then you have the quarterback yelling at everybody.
Yeah.
Although there is part of me, I want to see some of that with Russ, like I talked about. I want to see a little bit of that with Russ. Just a little. Not to the Mac Jones extent, but some of that fire. It just doesn't seem like it exists.
Another division that's kind of still up in the air is the AFC North. Ravens and Bengals are kind of battling right now.
Well, that's why with the Ravens, they have a really interesting setup here. You know, you have the Broncos. And, okay, if you take the Carolina game out of the equation, the Broncos have been close in every game, and Baltimore's kind of shown us in close games that they can fall apart. Well, with Baltimore, they have the Broncos, but then it's at Pittsburgh and at Cleveland. Those are big games no matter what because they're rivalry games. They're division games. So is this the trappiest of trap games for the Ravens, for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens? Kind of feels like maybe.
It's hard to say with a loss against Jacksonville last week. That kind of feels more like a trap game than the Broncos do.
Yeah.
If you're looking ahead towards your divisional opponents, maybe. But I don't. I think it's hard to overlook the Broncos and still lose to them.
I mean, that's how bad the situation is right now. But again, I go to the Broncos schedule, and every game that they've played, save for that Carolina one, they have had opportunities to win. You just need a little better coaching, a little better quarterback play, a little better offensive line play. Now, ultimately, you need a lot better in all those areas, but that's how tight things have been. Somehow, that's the silver lining, I guess, is somehow with Denver, they've been in games. 17 minutes after the hour, we'll look more into the NFL. We got Football Friday coming up at 1, but we're going to talk to the voice of the UNC Bears, Jerry Schimmel, next on the program. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, the voice of the UNC Bears, Jerry Schimmel. Jerry, my man, I can call you. We're partners now. We're going to be partners tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, me too. Yeah.
Are you nervous at all that I'm going to screw it up?
No, I'm not. I'll be honest, not one bit, because I know you're a pro.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm looking, you are. And I'm looking forward to working with you and looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Now, who's playing tomorrow?
Hey, you know what? We laugh at that. I've had some color commentators that have asked that question.
Are you serious?
And they pull up, yeah, like, are we playing tonight?
I'm looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun. This matchup last year, Jerry, was crazy. I mean, CSU, at that, you know, we know what they ended up going on to do, going to March Madness. David Roddy gets drafted in the first round, so that was a great basketball team. I think that Bears team woke CSU up a little bit, maybe even helped the Rams go forward and say, man, we can't take anybody lightly. And UNC, they were coming after Colorado State last season.
I am so with you on that. And I think the Rams were undefeated at the time when they played, and you know, they were cracking the top 25 or close to it. Maybe the best team they've had ever at CSU, or certainly one of them, as we know. And, yeah, I think it gave them a scare. And they were leading in the second half, and you know, the crowd was stunned a little bit, and Bodie Hume was going off, and it was a lot of fun. So I think you're right. I think that kind of woke that team up a little bit. Wasn't like the Bears had a bad team, but I think they were thinking, you know, UNC cannot come in here and beat us as good as we are. So I think you're right. A little bit of a wake-up call for those guys a year ago.
Yeah, and I, you know, we were just talking to Isaiah Stevens earlier, Jerry, and, you know, he brought up, he said, he talked a lot about Kuor John Cooch. He said, man, that was one of the best performances against David Roddy that I saw all season. Obviously, we know Kuor transferred out of UNC, but we also know Roddy's not there. But that's still been a struggle for UNC, getting that big man and being consistent down there in the paint.
Yeah, no question about it. It's their biggest deficiency right now. Offensively, they're fine. They can score like they did a year ago. Maybe a little bit better as Caleb Shaw gets better as we go, and he's been sensational already. But they're missing size. They're missing rebounding. They're missing interior defense. I think potentially, Brady, they've got a chance to be okay defensively and on the boards. But right now, they're struggling that way. Steve is doing his best to make adjustments to try to cover up that a little bit. But at the same time, against a big physical team, they will get beat up.
Jerry Schimmel joining us, the voice of the UNC Bears. Well, three guys that were a big part of that game and the season for the Bears we've talked about a lot. Dalen Kuntz, Matt Johnson, Dalton Knecht. And Dalton Knecht is coming off of a monster performance in that tournament over the weekend. And so they're going to need him. They're going to need somebody kind of to do what Bodie Hume did, as you mentioned. They're going to need somebody probably to get close to that 25, 30-point range.
I think so, too, and there certainly are guys capable of that. The three guys you mentioned are capable of doing that. Dalen Kuntz is a guy that can go off for 40 points against anybody if he gets rolling. And Dalton Knecht is such an improved player, Brady. I don't know if you've had a chance to see him yet. You will tomorrow, but guy's got confidence. He's hitting the boards. He knows he's got a rebound because the big guys aren't around him anymore. He's playing defense. He's making great decisions. So another guy that can go off anytime for 30 points. So, yeah, if you're going to beat a CSU team on the road, even a CSU team that's not as good as it has been, or certainly not as good as last year, you got to have some things go your way. And one of those things you have to have is one of those guys to go off like Bodie did last year. And what I'm excited about is there are a handful of guys that can certainly do that for the Bears.
Let's talk about the defensive side for UNC, Jerry. They've had moments where they can string together some stops, but overall, defensively, it's just not there for the Bears. What's going on there?
You know, I think it is just that lack of size. You know, their perimeter defense is fine. They do a good job of limiting the threes and limiting the field goal percentage on threes by the opponent. But once that ball goes inside, they're so small. They get overwhelmed physically, I think. And New Mexico is a perfect example. I mean, the Lobos just kept feeding the low post, and they could not be stopped. The guys were bigger and stronger and just moved everybody around that they wanted to move around. And so I think that's where they're really struggling defensively is on the interior. You know, they got athletic guys on the perimeter that can guard, you know, Dalen and Matt Johnson and others can guard guys on the perimeter, but they throw that ball in the low post. They just don't have anybody to match up. They don't have, you know, Theo Hughes is a big body, but he doesn't move very well. And then they just don't have a John Cooch or a Bodie Hume that's that athletic player that can guard bigger guys and block shots.
We're talking to Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears. And that's kind of the thing. You know, we kind of knew that going in, that when Coor left, that was going to be their big test, is trying to find somebody who can really be that big guy. And again, relying on freshmen, that's a tall task for anybody. But Steve's relying on a lot of freshmen this season.
He is, and that's been a really fun part of the early season for me anyway, is watching these guys. I mean, Caleb Shaw is really good. And Steve Smiley, I don't think he went on a limb at all when he said this in the pregame the other day. He said, I think he's probably the best freshman right now in the Big Sky. I mean, he really is that kind of player and will only get better, Brady. I mean, he's really going to be fun by the time he's a senior. And then you got guys like Brock Wisney, who's kind of getting a few more minutes, and Juju Ramirez, the same thing. And, you know, Langston Reynolds is a guy that's got a ways to go offensively, but he's good defensively. He's getting some time. So you got four very talented freshmen, I think, coming along at a pretty good rate. They just look like they're getting better and better each game, which is what you hope for with these guys. But, you know, I think they're – and Steve Smiley told me the first practice I saw this year, Jerry, we're not very big. We're missing guys inside, and we have to somehow overcome that.
Yeah, and that's a tall task for sure. You called it, though, early. You said watch out for Caleb Shaw, and he has been as good as advertised. Boy, that's going to be a guy that should be very good for this team for years to come.
I agree, and like I said, he's just going to get better. He's learning. The good thing about him is, and Steve says this all the time, too, and you can see it, so easily, so quickly with him. He's fearless, Brady. I mean, does not act like a freshman. He goes in the University of Houston and drives down the lane and, you know, finishes plays and blocked a shot and got fouled shooting a three-pointer. And, you know, just like, I don't care if they're the number three ranked team in the country. I'm going to go out there and play and have fun. And he comes from a basketball family, so you're not surprised by that. But he not only is really talented, he's got great size, he can play the three or the two position, he can guard bigger guys, and I just think, and with the, he can really shoot it. And he's such a quick shooter, too. That's the thing is, by the time he gets that ball and releases it, he's about as quick as anybody you will see in the big sky. Catching and release, and that is so key when you're a smaller player. So it's just all to say that he's good right now, Brady, and he's just going to get better.
Jerry, how do you think these players, and again, I'm looking at Caleb Shaw, too, thinking maybe he has a little, you know, a little extra tomorrow, knowing that it's Colorado State. I think I heard Tanner mention it to you. It's almost like the big brother up there. But, you know, how do you think this Bears team views it? You know, I asked Dalen those questions. They say all the right things. Ah, it's a team, you know, we're excited, da-da-da-da-da. But you know that deep down, some of these guys are like, hey, we want to go beat this team. They're supposed to be the top team in the state, the top dogs. They were March Madness guys last year. There's maybe a little personal business here for UNC tomorrow.
Well, I think so, and I get that feeling, too. And, you know, I've been around the team all that much the last couple of days after we got back from Albuquerque, but I think they're excited about playing at Moby. They're excited about playing a Mountain West team. And I can tell you this. I don't know. If they win, it's an upset, obviously, but they will not go in there fearful. They'll go in there confident. They'll lay it on the floor. They'll play all out. I don't know if that's good enough to win a game like that, but I think they're excited about, you know, being competitive and maybe making it a game. And, you know, get down the end, the Bears have been really good in tight games other than CCU. So, you know, you never know what can happen. And you certainly don't have to go far to look to see what can happen when you look at that game between those two teams last year.
Well, kind of an interesting development throughout the course of the week. I was certainly shocked, Jerry, on the CSU side of things on Wednesday before the Rams took on LMU. We hear, Isaiah Stevens is healthy. He's good to go. He played in that game, played pretty well. I didn't think he was going to be around, certainly not for this game, but I really didn't think he'd be back until January. So obviously you root for players to get healthy no matter who you're going up against, but I thought that would change things for UNC, but now it looks like Isaiah's back, and he's on a little bit of a minute restriction, but he's just one of those sensational players that we get to follow throughout the state.
You know, I think CSU fans are excited to get him back about a month early because that's what I heard too, Brady, was, hey, 1st of January, Mountain West Conference, he'll be back. Here he is a month early. So that's always a bonus when you get guys back a month early rather than a month late. So, yeah, he's and what a player. Oh, my gosh. He just in the second half of last year's game against UNC, he was going to make sure the Rams were not going to get beat. They were not going to get beat by UNC as long as he was on that team. And that's the kind of guy that he can be on a court to will his team to win. Not only is he talented, but he's competitive. So, yeah, good for Rams fans. Like you said, he'll be limited with his minutes. And he did play pretty well on Wednesday. But at the same time, he's probably not going to be 100% against the Bears.
Jerry, any pointers for me tomorrow as we get set? I haven't done color commentary in a long time, and that certainly was never at the Division I basketball ranks.
You know what? We should reverse that. I should be asking you for pointers.
I have none for you, man. I mean, it's as smooth as butter listening to Jerry Schimmel broadcast again.
Brad, you'll be great. You know how to do this, so don't worry about a thing. Don't be nervous. We'll just have a lot of fun and have a great broadcast.
All right, and that's it's in Fort Collins, right? That's Moby. Is it called Moby Arena? Okay.
And they're called the Rams, not the Buffaloes, okay?
I just hope I don't get lost on the way over. It should be a lot of fun, right, Jerry? I appreciate it. It's an honor to sit next to you and do this, so I am very much looking forward to it, my man.
You know, I was telling those guys this morning on the radio, if you're no good, it's going to be hard to fire you since you're the general manager.
I know.
You're the boss.
How are you going to be honest? I'm going to be like, Jerry, give me some feedback.
Know.
You were fantastic. Well, we'll see, man. I'm going to try not to be terrible, I promise.
Yeah, don't be terrible, and everything will be fine.
I will do my best. All right, we'll see you tomorrow for this huge game, Rivalry Week. I love this game. I love the idea of this matchup every single year. So I'm looking forward to it, my man.
Okay, Brady, I'll see you tomorrow.
Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears. Yeah, we'll see. I haven't done color commentary in a while. I started at KFKA doing that with Clark Johnson on the prep scene. Absolutely loved it. But I haven't done it in a while. 7, 8, 9 years. I don't know when the last time I did it was, but I'm very much looking forward to it. All right, 35 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out on Jell and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Want to thank Lemons Heating and Cooling. Air conditioning, heating, duct cleaning, you name it, they'll take care of it for you. Maybe you turn that heater on and it's not sounding too great or there's a funky smell coming out of it. Maybe you should call our friends over at Lemons Heating and Cooling. 970-567-0798. Check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Great stuff from Jerry Schimmel there. Big game coming up for the UNC Bears tomorrow afternoon. And, you know, listening to Isaiah, I mean, he's such a humble guy, too. He's like, dude, this is a big game for us. Like, we view this as big game in the state, too. I mean, we're not looking down on it at all. And I believe it, man. I mean, he's very excited about this. But things got a little chippy between him and Matt last year. And, you know, it showed you that. The Rams wanted, they want to win every game, but that game meant a lot to them. And I think this is something we should do every single year. Okay, Angel, what's the latest on the Deion watch? We got rumors floating all over the place, man. Is he coming to Boulder?
It's possible. I saw a report this morning that it's about 95% done. We're kind of just waiting for the announcement to come out.
That it's 95% done that he's going to CU?
Yes.
Oh, my. Are you serious?
Barstool Colorado retweeted this about an hour ago from, let's see who this is, Sua at I am
I'm looking at it right
Susie,
now.
Sports analyst at CBS Sports Central tweeted this. My sources are saying not only is Coach Prime to Colorado a done deal, but Coach Sanders plans on bringing a new DC from Alabama staff. Expect an announcement from either Colorado or Primetime this weekend or early next week.
That's Sua Cravens, too. He used to play for the Commanders.
Oh, okay, that's who it is.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, I'm looking at his followers, 150,000 followers, always kind of a good indicator.
He's got a blue check mark.
I remember Cravens, man. I thought he was going to be really, really good in the NFL. But he's tweeting it out. He's got some sources saying it. Here's what Deion posted, Coach Prime, 5 hours ago. Let's read between the lines. You tell me what this means to you. What are you saving it for? Tomorrow? Next week? A better situation? Another person? Another opportunity? It's time you exhaust everything that's inside of you. Today is here, and it's time to go get it. This is your now. This is your moment. Seize it. Read between the lines. What's that mean? That's what we're doing now. We're TMZing this thing again.
I think on one hand, it's... I don't know. Does Jackson State have another game? Do they have a bowl game to play?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Because if they do, then I think that's could be interpreted as, hey, let's get our team excited for one last game. If it is my last game at Jackson State, then let's go out on a high note. But if it's not, sounds like there's an opportunity on the table. And from the research that I've done, it's between CU and Cincinnati at this point. Cincinnati, of course, will be a Power 5 school next year when they join the Big 12. If he wants a Power 5 job, he has two options now. And there's a lot to consider with Cincinnati. Do you want to go in the Big 12? Do you want to compete in the Pac-12 minus USC and UCLA? Can CU kind of fill up that vacuum a little bit? But you're also seeing transfers out of CU. Their quarterback McCown entered the transfer portal yesterday. So how much re-recruiting can he do? Is he bringing kids from Jackson State over? Very interesting to see what happens with Deion.
Well, and you know, Keeler's report in the Denver Post, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's the best recruit. He's the best high school football player in the state. He committed to Oregon. He told Keeler that he would strongly consider sticking around and going, committing to the Buffs if Primetime is the coach. And no, Jackson State doesn't play this week. They don't have anything, so they're done. Mm. So what does it mean? What does the tweet mean? We're diving into it, man. Very interesting. He could actually be a Buff. I mean, we go from
within
last
like
week.
48 hours.
Yeah.
We could be having Coach Sanders.
He said he told ESPN, or ESPN got a report that said he would have his decision tomorrow. So add that to the madness that is going
is
to be
he waiting for
Saturday.
The Pac-12 championship to be settled?
I don't know. He maybe wants to watch it. He wants to
watch
tonight.
Maybe he's in Vegas watching the game.
Yeah, well, here's the other thing. CU and CSU play next week, don't they?
In basketball, yes.
Yeah, so they could. Yeah. They don't have a bonus game. And that's in Boulder. Deion could be, that could be announced at that game. Like he not announced, but they could introduce him as the head coach. He could come out and talk at halftime.
I mean, you saw it in the game last night. There were plenty of fans and were putting up their signs saying, we want Deion.
Yeah, they were.
CU was excited for this kind of hire, and you get a little nervous at CSU. I know they're different conferences. You don't play that much, but to see your rival get a coaching hire like that, suddenly they're the big dogs in the state.
It's funny because all the Rams diehards, and I love them, but you know, they're like, oh, that ain't happening, no way.
That's a joke.
And then when it does happen, they're going to be like, oh, this was a terrible hire. You just went for the big name. He's not proven at this level.
And then they square off next season. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
No doubt
in
about
Folsom
it.
Field.
It should have always
been home and home.
Might actually be a good game, too, because, you know, CU's awful. CSU's awful.
They're up and coming.
And if CU gets primetime, is that an instant change? Does he get transfers and recruits instantly that can impact that pro? Because they're terrible, man. I mean, they're not covering 39-point spreads.
You're going to get majority of talent from the transfer portal until he gets his recruiting classes in. But we've seen with the transfer portal, you can go get a quarterback. You can go get a wide receiver. You can go get a defensive player that can just instantly change your team.
Wow. I think the idea of it is fascinating to me. I didn't think in my wildest dreams that Deion Sanders would even be in this conversation 3 weeks ago. And then you saw that first thing I saw was that 24/7 tweet that Colorado was in the mix. And yes, they have offered him a job. He has admitted as much. Now we're going to find out what that means. And I think, according to sources, we're going to find out tomorrow. It sounds like he's coming. If you believe in Sua Cravens, who tweeted that out, that it really looks like CU might be the spot. Speaking of, go ahead, Angel.
Oh, I was going to say, when there's smoke, there's a lot of fire.
There's a lot of fire here.
And that's it's hard to say that with Boulder because they have fire
trouble.
Yeah,
that's true.
So, but
that's
a metaphor.
It's a metaphor. Everybody calm down.
Figure of speech.
Speaking of CU, last night,
yikes.
They were up by 15 over Arizona State. Up by 15. And ended up losing by a point. Tad Boyle said, hey, this is one of the worst losses that I can remember. And they had that thing in the bag to start Pac-12 play. I don't know who the Buffs are. I have no idea who Colorado is. You know, they're sitting at 4-4. They beat Tennessee. They destroyed Texas A&M in that tournament a week ago or whatever. They beat them 103-75. Then you lose to Boise State. You know, you barely beat Yale. You lose to you beat UC Riverside. I mean, this is the loss to Grambling. I mean, who are the Buffs? I have no idea at this point.
Consistency has escaped them.
I don't know what it is. Is it the new guys on the team? Is it young guys just not knowing how to close out games or whatever? I mean, it's a kind of a cause for concern right now, especially when you're up that big. They were up 38-23 at the half, and they were outscored 37-21 in the second half to give Arizona State. I mean, Arizona State's a good team. But you're winning big like that, you think you can hang on. You know, it's just a weird night for everybody. Tristan Da Silva had 10 points. He was 1-for-4 from the three-point line, 4-for-9 overall. KJ Simpson shot it a lot. He was 3-of-10 from the three-point line. So, yeah, that's not typically going to get it done when he or Da Silva are not having big games. And then their big man, Lovering, he had 3 boards. You need him to be better there, too. So we'll see what this Buffs team is. I think they have Washington tomorrow. And so we'll see if they can bounce back. I watched Washington and Oregon State last night. Oregon State was smoking Washington. Washington comes all the way back, gets the lead, but the Beavers end up winning anyway. But that was a fun game. 12:49 the time. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number two. We got Football Friday coming up at 1. What does the next head coach situation look like for the UNC Bears? It's been kind of quiet over there in at the University of Northern Colorado. What do we know? We'll talk about all of that coming up on a Football Friday. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
'Cause I'm TNT, I'm dynamite, TNT, and I'll win that fight, TNT.
Okay, Angel, we missed it. They do play this weekend, okay? Jackson State plays Southern tomorrow. Okay, thank you, Blake Olson, hooking us up. Play-by-play voice for UNC football. What's going to happen with UNC football, Angel? Here's what I know.
I would love to know.
You want to know what I know? Do you want to know the things?
Pass your wisdom.
I understand that Scott Darnell is interested. That's what I know. I have heard that through the grapevine.
He was the
defensive coordinator for UNC.
And they had a big jump after 2 years ago. They had like the biggest jump in FCS standings for defense.
Yeah. I've heard good things from his players. I've talked to a couple of those guys. I don't know if they're leaning toward that way. I have no report telling me that he has interviewed or anything like that. But I've put out some calls. We'll see if I learn more. I know that he's interested. I just assumed everybody on that coaching staff was getting the hell out of Dodge.
Do you have any inkling about when they want to make a decision?
I mean, they got to do it soon, right? They got to do it next week, don't they?
That's what I'm thinking.
You got to get going with the recruiting.
I'm imagining something when the school goes on winter break. I'd imagine that's in a couple of weeks. They might announce that over a break.
What do you think of going with a guy? Again, I have no one telling me that he is interviewed, but he's interested. Are they interested? I don't know. Is that a bad move to go with somebody that was on McCaffrey's staff?
Not necessarily. I think you'd have to know more about this coaching staff than any of us do. You know, what was the relationship like between McCaffrey and his coordinators? We know how he was with Max, the OC. How was he with the DC? And it seemed like that defense was more often than not the identity of the team. That's what we really thought they'd be going into the season. Obviously, you lost David Hogue before the season even started, so that hurt. But he has a lot more experience in terms of coaching than McCaffrey did. Granted, it's all high school, but it's more experience.
Yeah, that's the thing. So you look back at his position, and we'll get into this more. Let's talk about that, though. And does he make... I like him personally. I know him pretty well. He's a really cool guy. He'd connect well with the show. So there's that. That's a personal thing. We'll talk more about that. Football Friday coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.